It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Senior Obama administration officials are briefing congressional leaders today on the situation in Syria, amid complaints by lawmakers that they have not been properly consulted as the president considers possible military action. President Obama has said he hasn't made up his mind about whether to launch a missile strike against Syria, but he's convinced the Assad regime has used chemical weapons against its own people, justifying U.S. action.
We have concluded that the Syrian government, in fact, carry these out. And if that's so, then there need to be international consequences. So we are consulting with our allies. We're consulting with the international community. And I have no interest in any kind of open-ended conflict in Syria. But we do have to make sure that when countries break international norms on weapons like chemical weapons that could threaten us, that they are held accountable.
I'm joined now in Studio A by former U.S. Ambassador Dan Simpson, a columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Dan Simpson, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to be with you. I enjoy our conversations.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Should the U.S. government launch an attack against Syria in retaliation for the Syrian government's alleged attacks against its own people? 412-246-2002. Dan Simpson, you are saying in no uncertain terms that the U.S. should stay out of Syria. Why?
Well, for a number of reasons. One of them is, Let us suppose that we hear Joe Biden's call for an immediate attack or Obama's suggestion yesterday that we have overwhelming evidence that they used chemical weapons. I mean, even then, is this a good reason to attack Syria? I mean, I think there are a number of things that would have to be gone through if a decision were finally made to do that. The first one is an attempt at least to get a UN Security Council resolution. I don't think that we would be able to get that because I think the Russians and the Chinese would block it. But
it hasn't stopped us before.
Well, but then comes NATO. I don't see any unanimity in NATO on an attack. The Arab League certainly opposes it. And so we get down to the point where it's the United States doing it all by itself. Now, this is assuming that we were going to try to do something to actually stop the Syrian government, if it's the Syrian government that did it, from using them again, which Obama was suggesting yesterday in his interview with PBS.
President Obama's pretty much convinced at this point that the Syrian government has launched these chemical weapons attacks. What do you think?
Well, how does he know? I mean, what is the intelligence based on? And how would it be that that intelligence is better than what a UN inspection team on the ground working right now will produce? And also, if the point is to punish the Syrian government for doing this, if it has, what's the big hurry? What we would do, I suppose, would be not invade. I think if there's no taste for doing among the American people for doing anything in Syria, there's certainly no taste in America for boots on the ground. I mean, I think we've had a full dose of that with an 8-year war in Iraq and a now 11-12-year-old war in Afghanistan. American people don't want that. So there's the idea that we would use our destroyers offshore and bang some Tomahawk missiles into Syria. Well, first of all, we should not imagine that that will have any effect on the Syrian government other than to enrage them. And what it would do, of course, is kill some more Syrians. And there have been maybe 100,000 Syrians killed already and create more damage in Syria. And they've already had an awful lot of their buildings knocked down. Now,
in your writings, Dan, let me jump in. Because you have said that you in making your case, stating the case for staying out of war with Syria, you have mentioned people like Major Nadal Hassan, Sergeant Robert Bales, and Private First Class Bradley Manning.
Yeah, well, that's another kind of argument.
And what about that argument?
It's an important one. Number one, our military forces are clearly greatly depleted after the two wars. And one of them isn't even over yet. The one in Afghanistan continues. And I argue that those three cases, which we saw last week, are clear evidence of the depletion of the strength of U.S. forces.
How so?
Well, in the case of Bradley Manning, who was supervising him? How did that happen? How did a private first class with important personal problems ever get access to the hundreds of thousands of the most highly classified documents that existed? Who was supervising him? The second one is, if you want to take Bales, he had been deployed four times into combat situations and obviously
–
Iraq and Afghanistan. At some point in the game, simply lost it and went out and massacred Afghan civilians and mostly women and children. And the case of Hassan, first of all, the military saw that he was a problem and didn't get rid of him and kept moving him up. Secondly, if we can assume that he was reasoning as opposed to just going nuts, he had become alienated by the fact that we had fought two major wars against Muslim countries, and he was a Muslim. So, he switched sides. Now, the fact that these people were embedded deeply into our military and were thus able to do the kinds of substantial damage that they did, because each one in his own way did a lot, shows the state of the military. Also, there's the money. The United States right now is in a terrible situation financially. If a war is really, really important, then we have to find the money no matter what. But intervening in Syria at this point, I'm sorry, that's not worth the additional financial havoc that would be wreaked on the United States to wage war against Syria.
Our guest is U.S. Ambassador, former U.S. Ambassador Dan Simpson here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. To join the conversation, 412-246-2002. Let's go to Glenn in Bethel Park. Glenn, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the program, and go ahead with your comment or question.
My comment is, first off, I agree with everything that Dan has said.
My goodness,
but
thank you.
I think there's one point that needs to be made, and that is, why is it that it is now time to take action in Syria? And if you boil it down to its essentials, we're doing it because he killed people the wrong way.
Yeah.
It was okay for him to blow people up, to bayonet them, to shoot them, but when he used gas, that's beyond the pale, and we must do something. Now, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I endured the situation where we were accused of using chemical warfare against the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese because we used riot control gas. But it was perfectly all right to coat them in jellied gasoline and set them afire. I find this ludicrous at best.
We're doing it again.
Talking about napalm.
Right.
I can.
It was perfectly all right to use napalm. Well, I guess some people protested against it, but there was a hue and cry against using a chemical agent.
I can see.
Chemical agents are like radioactivity.
Sure.
Everyone knows that if you're killed that way, you're much deader than if you were shot or blown up or burned. So to start a war because Assad is killing his people the wrong way, does that not strike anybody as a bit stupid?
A bit, and a bit hip, and you're saying it sounds like a hypocritical as well. What about it, Dan Simpson?
The way I feel about that is, first of all, chemical weapons are truly appalling because, if nothing else, there is the indiscriminate way they impact. And secondly, that, you know, in this particular case, if they were used by the government, they killed children and women. Now, but chemical weapons are a very a complicated issue. There is a convention on that. Which has been signed by most countries in the world, but three countries in that region have not signed it. One of them is Syria, second one is Egypt, third one is Israel. So these are three countries that are not prepared to give up using chemical weapons. So there's that. And I do take your point about, even though it sounds a bit brutal, that it doesn't matter so much how people get killed. It's the fact that they get killed.
The caller's point.
Yeah, which is a, you know, a reasonable point. But first of all, we haven't established that either that they've been used, although everybody seems to think so, or who used them, whether it was the Syrian government, or whether it was the rebels. This has not been established.
You have expressed concern about the president ignoring Congress and the War Powers Act, as he did in Libya and Mali. But if he's talking with congressional leaders today, as he reportedly is, wouldn't that qualify as a discussion or a consultation? And if not, why not?
In my view, not. I mean, that if that means that what he is doing or what administration officials are doing is briefing the staffs of people like John Boehner and Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid and so forth. I mean, that's not good enough. I mean, for the United States to go to war one more time in the Middle East, I think we need a free and complete discussion of the matter by the Congress, and not just because it says so in the War Powers Act, even though it does, but also because it's a question of the Congress representing the American people. And the last and recent polls have showed that 61% of Americans, which is to say 3 out of 5, oppose U.S. military involvement in Syria. So at least if there were congressional debate of this matter, then the issue would have received a thorough airing. And we all know the problems of someone, a president, taking the United States to war without having the support of the American people behind him. Because after all, it's their sons and daughters who are going to die, and it's their taxpayer money that's going to be used to fight this war, and that enters into it. A cruise missile costs $2 million. So the idea of destroyers—
For one missile.
And think what you could do with that in, say, the Duquesne School District.
With the money that—
One cruise missile.
412-246-2002 to get in on the conversation with Dan Simpson. We have Bob in Squirrel Hill. Bob, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
I understand that the deep Russian interest in Syria is that there's a port in Syria that their warships can flow in and out of. What if President Obama guaranteed the Russians that they would have access to the Mediterranean, a port somewhere, Syria, some other country, the free access for Russia to the Mediterranean? Would that enable the Russians to pull the rug out from under Assad? I'll hang up.
No, it's much more complicated than that. The Russians, preceded by the old Soviet Union, have been involved in Syria for many years, way back into the Cold War. At one time, the United States proxy in the Middle East was Israel, and the Soviet Union's proxy in the Middle East was Syria, Iraq, and at one point Egypt, and so on. So the Russian relationship with the Syrians is much deeper than that. And one thing that is relevant as one looks at the possibilities of military action is the fact that the Russians sold them their anti-aircraft equipment and probably provide them technical support to using that anti-aircraft equipment.
What about the possibility that if the U.S. does strike Syria, Syria and its allies might retaliate against Israel?
That's possible, or Syria might also retaliate against the states in the Persian Gulf, Saudi Arabia, these Gulf sheikdoms that have been providing support to the Syrian rebels. And that would be a real mess because all of those states are flimsy and vulnerable.
President Obama's rationale for a strike is that he says he wants to teach Syria a lesson, and he's used phrases like this is about firing a shot across the bow. How does the president, if he does engage in a surgical strike, avoid getting us into what some people have called a quagmire like Iraq, especially with a civil war going on in Syria?
Well, it's like putting your first foot into a swamp. First of all, I would say something. I watched yesterday his interview with PBS, and this idea that if we don't do something, the Syrians might use chemical weapons on us is just silly. I mean, look at the map. Now, the idea of teaching them a lesson by firing something at them from a destroyer, I mean, for the Syrian government, Bashar al-Assad, this is a matter of survival. You know, they're not going to be deterred by that. Might kill a few Syrians, might even knock out a crucial installation or two, but it's not going to change there. It's not going to cause them to stop defending themselves.
All right, but here's the argument you'll get. The president has warned Syria about crossing a red line with chemical attacks. If he doesn't act, what's to stop Iran from thinking that they can attack Israel or something else without severe repercussions?
First of all, I think Obama made a major mistake when he used that expression red line, because that is to put into the hands of somebody else the decision on whether America acts or not. I think that's always a mistake. So whoever put that in his talking points really hadn't thought it through. Now, as far as Iran responding to this, following Syria's example and using chemical weapons or not, I mean, no. Iran calls its own shots. That would be the Syrian tail wagging the Iranian dog. The other thing, which is kind of ironic, Saddam Hussein, who was Iran's most bitter enemy, was the last person to have used chemical weapons. So I don't think Iran has showed any disposition to do that. So I think that argument's silly too, to be honest with you.
Former U.S. Ambassador Dan Simpson joining us here in Studio A. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing your insight with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thank you very much. I've enjoyed the questions from you and from your callers. Who did we have?
Well, we had
Glenn and Bob and one more. Paul? Yeah, no.
That's me.
And
you're welcome.
One more.
You're welcome, Dan. Thank you so much. Coming up, we'll learn how bus shelters around the city are using wordplay posters to create teachable moments. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.